I have a portion and I want everyone's attention. No one moving about. In the ninth verse, we might start at the eighth verse. Back in Samuel, 1 Samuel 17:8. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and he said unto them, Why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am I not a Philistine, and ye the servants of Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. And if he be able to fight with me and kill me, then will we, the Philistines, be your servants and serve you. But if I prevail against him and kill him that whom you send down, the same, then ye shall be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. And Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistines. They were dismayed greatly, and they were greatly afraid. The word here says that Goliath came and presented himself 40 days and 40 nights against Israel. And he said, we want this to be settled man to man. We want Israel to find a man among you that is capable of coming down and fighting against me, Goliath. And if he can prevail against me and whip me, then all Israel is free, and we will become your servants. And Philistines will be the servants to Israel. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then Israel shall be our servants and serve us. And it said, these words of the Philistine caused Saul and all Israel to be greatly amazed, and they were sorely afraid. For 40 days and 40 nights there was no man found among the children of Israel that could answer the challenge of Goliath. It described in detail his size and all. It said that he was 9 feet and 6 inches tall. When I hold my hand as high as I can hold it, then about 12 inches on the other side of my hand is where his head would be. So you can imagine when this great giant came down and appeared before Israel, and it said he was a warrior from his youth. As a child, he knew how to handle the spear. And he had an armor bearer going before him. He had a coat of mail. He had every part of his body covered with metal, only a place here he could flip up by his forehead. And he had a very heavy guttural voice, and he comes out and defies the armies of Israel for 40 days. And the 40th day, there happened to be a man anointed by God's prophet Samuel that had the Spirit of God come upon him. His name is David. He happened to come down from his father's house with bread for his brethren. It's a beautiful type of Jesus Christ all the way through. Jesus said, I am the bread that come from my Father, and I have come to my own. He came to bring bread. He came to his own received him not. He brought bread to his brethren rejected him and said, we know the naughtiness of thine heart. Where have you left your sheep? Go on back to your sheep. You've come down here to get in this battle and just holler and all. Said, you need to go back. So he was rejected. So Christ was. It's all a beautiful type. But while David was there, there was a giant stepped out, and now David is God anointed. Because Samuel laid his hands upon him, and the Spirit of God came upon David to do a job for him. And so he heard this Philistine the 40th day, and he said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Send me down a man that'll fight against me. And when he got through, he said to the one next to him, and his brethren heard him, he said, what's going to be done about this guy that's challenging Israel? Who's going to answer his challenge? And they said, nobody. Saul can't get anybody. We don't have anybody in all of our realms anywhere that can meet this fellow. If he goes out there, it's not like an army with army, because it's man with man. When we go out there, we're watching. That fellow that's going out to meet that giant is going to be the one to decide whether I'm going to be a servant of the Philistines, or whether I'm going to be free in Israel or not. If our side whips and if our man delivers, kills the giant, then we're free. But if not, then we're servants, and we've listened to this for 40 days, but we don't have anybody we can trust. David said, what's going to be done to the fellow to go out? Said Saul said he'd let him marry his daughter and give him a great position in his kingdom. Well, he said, I'd like to see Saul. And they sent word to Saul and said, there's a man that won't see about taking that challenge. And so the brethren came by and said, come here, David, read it. I just read it a while ago. And it said, what do you mean? Where have you left your sheep? We know to the notice of thine heart. What you doing talking to these army men around here? You went to the captain here and was talking about that. What do you think you can do? He said, Eliab, that was one of his brothers, he said, is there not a cause? Don't you think it's high time somebody answers that guy and calls his bluff? And so the king sent, said, whoever that is that's talking, said he'll take him over, bring him up here. And when he got him in, he opened up the door and walked in. The king said, where's the fellow's going to take that Goliath? Said, I'm the one. You? And read it. I just read it. It said, why, son, you're a stripling. My sermon today is dealing with your giant. Dealing with your giant. I said, your giant. You say, I haven't got any. But you have. And I'm talking about dealing with your giant. I'll tell you what your giant is. But here David comes in before the king. Now King Saul looks at him. He's a pretty big, heavy set fellow himself. He looks down on David, a little stripling fellow there, with his little slingshot, had it in his shepherd's bag. And he just stood there without it. And he said, son, what is your purpose in coming? I said, I'm answering the challenge of that fellow. He said, you see, you don't know who I am. It doesn't make no difference. But he said, I'm a shepherd boy. And the other day there was a bear came out of the woods and got one of my little lambs. And you know what I did? The God of heaven anointed me, and I went in and I grabbed that bear and I ripped that bear, that lamb out of his paw, and then I slew the bear. And he said, a few days later, a lion came in and grabbed one of my lions. Said, I rushed in, grabbed that lion, and grabbed the lamb out of its mouth, and took that lion by the beard, and I slew that lion and left his carcass there. And the God that delivered me out of the paw of the bear and the mouth of the lion will deliver me out of the hand of this uncircumcised Philistine that's out there defying the armies of the living God. Said, I'm ready to go. Did that really happen? Yes. He said, it sure did, sir. Well, you depend on God. Well, he said, I believe Israel believes God, so come in here, I'll fix you up. And he put his heavy armor on him. And his heavy iron, you know, and all. Put his armor coat on him, the coat of mail, and all, as he put it all over him, you know. And David tried to move around that thing. And he had a great big old sword strapped on him. And he said, Saul, unbuckle this thing, would you? He said, what's the matter, son? He said, well, you're fixing me to where he can't get me, but that's not the thing. I'm going to get him. So just turn me loose and let me use what I've tried. I'm not going to depend on this armor anyway. I am depending on the God of heaven to deliver me. And so if you'll take it off. And Saul took it off. He said, what you going to do? He reached in and pulled out a little old thin light slingshot. He said, I'm going down by the creek and get me a rock, and I'm going to take care of this job all by myself. And Saul looked at him and said, son, go and God be with you. And I imagine if he turned around to walk off, he said, and if God don't go with you, you're a sure goner, because a little old stripling tending to his father's sheep wasn't even qualified to get down in the trenches with a normal common army. And here you come and going to go out against a guy whose head is almost 14 inches higher than the end of my fingertips. He was a giant. And brother, I'm talking about giants. And David went down, you know the story. He went down there, and when he came out, was bellowing again. And David said, I'm coming against you. He looked down and he saw him, and he raised that thing up so he could talk to him kind of good, you know, like this. And he said, what do you think I am, a dog coming here? You don't even have a spear. He didn't even have a spear or a sword. He said, you come to me with an armor bearer. You got a fellow there by you with a big shield, and you've got a coat of mail, and you've got a spear and a sword, and you practice with it. He said, you come to me and you make your boast. But he said, I come to you in the name of the Lord God of Israel. And because you have defied the God of Israel, God will deliver your head into my hand this day, and I'll take it and I'll sever it from you, and I'll give your flesh, and by the way, the armies of the Philistines, I'll give them for dung on the hillsides, and the jackals and the dogs and the buzzards will eat them up. And it made that giant so mad, he stomped his feet. Are you listening? I'm talking about how to get rid of your giant. He stomped his feet and run toward David. And when he did, David had that little slingshot, and he put a little rock into it. And he had five. He went down, picked up five. And the reason, Goliath had four brothers. And he said, if your brothers want to take this up, I've got a rock for each one of them too. And he ran toward the giant. And he just took the slingshot and he whirled it and turned it loose with the understanding that I am going to do the natural and leave the supernatural to you. And sometimes when we get in a line to come up to have some little old preacher lay your hands on him, you think, I don't see no sense in that. God didn't ask you to see any sense in it. He said, do it or die. You can go bound, but you can be delivered. You don't see no sense in that. Why, I can imagine his brothers back there in the train saying, suicide, suicide. Don't look. He's getting ready. Our brother's getting ready to go. He's getting ready. Look at him. Look at the fool leaving his little flock. Now there he is, going up there, looking way up at that old giant. And that old giant looking down at him, stomping his feet. And David just took that one sling with that rock, turned it loose, and how many believe God got in it? Yeah. And that rock hit that old giant right here in his forehead and busted his skull. And when he did, the fraction knocked him out cold as a cucumber. He crashed to the ground with a big noise like a bull. Can you imagine it? Now, he wasn't a skinny little fella. Brother, I'm not skinny, but suppose my head was up there 12 inches on the other side of my fingers. That's what the Bible says, how tall he was. I've measured it. Now, 12 inches on the other side. You can imagine. But he was in proportion to his height. He was a great big fella. And he fell to the ground like a big stuck bull. And David didn't have nothing to kill him with, so he just jumped up on top of him like he's jumping up on top of an elephant or something. Jumped up on top of him and reached down and got his sword out of his sheath, pulled it out, and went up to the front part on his shoulders, standing on top of him, you know, balancing. Got his head, got his hair like that, and whacked off his head, threw it over his shoulder, and come back praising God. How many believe that happened? You know what they said? Oh, everybody in Israel said, that takes care of my giant. What do you mean? Boy, out there wasn't only David's giant. He is my giant. When I went to sleep, I had to sleep on the fact if somebody don't handle that boy, I can't. But if somebody don't handle him, I've got a giant on my hand. That giant's going to make a slave out of me. That giant's going to bring me into captivity. He's going to make me become a slave to the Philistines. And every day, all Israel, including Saul, when they heard what he said, they feared greatly and were perplexed. Why? Because they knew they had a giant on their hand and somebody had to deal with it. And brother, I'm going to tell you, there was one and only one that could deal with that giant, and that was David, the type of Jesus Christ. Everybody in Israel had a giant. That little girl said, Daddy, now tell me about it. If somebody don't kill that giant, you mean that we'll go captive and the Philistines will take us over and we'll be slaves to the Philistines? Yes, honey, we'll no longer be independent. We'll no longer have kings. We'll no longer have our privileges to go to our house of worship. We'll be slaves. We'll be bucket carriers, water carriers, moppers. We'll be that. That little girl went to bed with a giant. Brother, that little girl had a giant that needed to be dealt with. But there was somebody that came on the scene that dealt with that giant. When he downed that giant, it meant that he'd taken care of everybody's giant in Israel, because everybody in Israel had a giant on their hand. Do you understand what I mean? Listen to me closely here. It says in the 11th verse, or here in the 4th chapter, here it is, the 4th chapter, Jesus was led up by the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, when the tempter came to him and said, if thou be the Son of God, let these stones become bread. Now in Luke it says that Jesus was brought up into the wilderness to be tempted, was led by the Spirit of God into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil 40 days and 40 nights. Notice exactly what it says. And he was there with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. He has just been baptized of John in Jordan. He has just made his appearing to Israel. The day before, who knew anything about Jesus? He had not made his appearing. Even John didn't know who he was. But he comes and is baptized, and immediately he is led in the wilderness. I want you to do one thing. I want you to believe what God laid on my heart to tell you, and it is the truth. When he got up out of that water, the Holy Spirit began to lead him. Where? Go out to meet my giant. Because Jesus had a giant on his hand. He's not going to cast out any devils. He's not going to have power to give power to his disciples to lay hands on the sick and to raise the dead until he deals with the giant. There's a giant that's got to be dealt with. And the Bible said, if the strong man keeps his palace, his goods are in safekeeping. But if a stronger man than he comes and overcomes him and takes away his armor wherein he trusted, then he can spoil his household. Jesus said, that's what I did when I went out to meet the devil. When I see him going over the hillsides into the wilderness, I say to God, God, where is he going? He's going to get the giant. He was not only Christ's giant, but brother, he was the world's giant. He was my giant. He is your giant, because it was there that when he taken care of Satan and conquered him, it is there that brings us the deliverance. You don't push a button and get your deliverance, bud. You get it from Jesus. Let me say this. There's a day I had a big giant, and it needed to be dealt with. I tried, I don't know how many times, to deal with it, but I couldn't. It is too big for me. But one day I came to Jesus, and the same as all Israel had a giant on their hand, because he was defying the armies of the living God, which involved slavitude to all Israel, but David delivered them out of it. Jesus Christ went out. Up to this time, nobody had met the challenge of the devil. But the devil was saying, the same as Goliath, send me down a man that can come against me. Moses came, but he wasn't able to go against him. Joshua came, but he wasn't able to go against him. Isaiah, Daniel, all those great men, but they were not able to go against him. But when Christ came, he went out against the devil. He went out to meet him, and Satan met Jesus Christ in the wilderness. And he was fasted there 40 days and 40 nights. And at the end of the 40 days fasting, brought great deliverance to Israel because he conquered the devil. From then on, Jesus operated with a perfectly free hand because he had met the strong man. And when he said to Legion, come out, the legions came out because he had mastered and bound the strong man. We have a master. It's Jesus. He has mastered the strong man for us. And how many believe the human race, when they come into the world, brother, you have a giant on your hand and you're not capable of coping with the giant until you come to Jesus. And when you come to Jesus, brother, the shackles fall off and you are liberated from things you never could be delivered from through Jesus Christ. Let me say this, and I'll be coming to a close right away. It says that God sware unto our father Abraham that we, being delivered out of the hands of our enemy. You know who that enemy is? It's your giant. You know what I mean? It's your giant. You say, what's a giant? Something that's just a little bit too big for you to cope with. I find good people, they've mastered a lot of things, but they still got one thing they're trying to wrestle with. You say, well, can they ever get victory? Sure can. Lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset you. God swore unto our father Abraham that we, being delivered out of the hands of our enemies, we could serve God without fear in holiness and righteousness all the days of our life. This morning, there's not a person here, but what in your lifetime you have had a giant. You may have brought that giant to Christ and let him conquer it. But there's people today that's got a giant in their life. Some is temper. That temper flies off of the handle and it brings you more problems and trouble. It separates you from God. It gets you in Dutch with God and you have a hard time trying to pray through. You know you shouldn't do it. But when it reaches a certain point, you blow your stack and you fly off of the handle and you try and try and try to quit. You can't. Brother, I'm going to tell you, it's bigger than you are. You've tried in vain and you cannot overcome it. I'll say that you can come to Jesus Christ. There is no giant but what Christ Jesus can loose you and set you free. Do you think that God wants his children to go to heaven constantly with a giant in your life, and that thing, every time the devil wants to take you captive at his will, he'll just push a button and off goes your temper? He wants you to come to God and let Jesus Christ take care of the giant, because he taken care of the big giant back there, which brought liberation to God's kingdom. Am I right? There's other people's got a giant of lust. They go along a few days and they cope with things, but the first thing you know, that monster straddles you and the devil takes you captive at his will, and that lust flies up and takes over your mind. And in spite of your knowledge, and hearing tongues and interpretation and God's message on holiness and purity and knowing that we are Christians, Christ-like, we lust and give ourselves to the devil and we turn over and commit fornication. And if you don't go through the act, it's because you didn't get a convenient opportunity. Lust drives you. And then they pray, they repent, and they cry out to God, "Oh God, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I've made a mistake." And then God comes on the scene, helps them. But the first thing you know, in a few days, few weeks, few months, he pushes the button, and that same old thing, you've tried to get bigger than it, but when it comes in all of its temptation, it's a little bit bigger than you are. It's your giant. You haven't been able to master it. But I'm going to tell you tonight, or this morning, that there is a God-given way that once and for all, God can kill that thing. He can kill that giant, and you do not have to be enslaved to it, but we are more than conquerors through him. God said he'd deliver us out of the hands of our enemies. Any kind of sin. Some people may have a cigarette habit. And they'll go for a while and not smoke. And then the first thing you know, that thing will get a hold of them and back they go. After being delivered a good while. How many say amen to that? Oh, they just try. But they're going to try it. You know what? Why don't you confess it's bigger than you? Well, I'll just lay it aside. To me, it's buttermilk. Lay it aside. Take me out and strike a match to me, to one end of me. Stick the other end in your mouth. First thing you know, you say, you reach out and get it, stick it in there. You fire up one end of it and stick the other in your mouth, and you go puffing. You don't want to. You don't want to. You know God don't want you to. It's not good for you. It's not an example for young boys and girls today. It's not the best for your body. The Holy Ghost is not pleased with it. You know all that. But there's something bigger that caused you to do it. Why? You've got a giant. David knew he had a giant. Need to cope with a guy like that. But he said, "Thank God I'm operating on God's power." Jesus Christ taking care. How many believe there is nothing that'll come to conquer you? But what Christ came to master the giant, and through Christ we're more than free. We're more than conquerors through him. Loved us. People worldly. Worldly. Want to watch something vulgar. Something comes on television. Woman throws a leg up a little bit. Oh, you just hope it'd be a little higher. Oh, well, no, I wouldn't. Of course, I'm here and I didn't put it on the television. It's turned on. I'm just looking at it. There is a button there. But you want to turn the button. You know you ought to turn it, but the giant's a little too big for you. You'll go ahead and feed on that slop for a while. Can you say amen? Worldliness. Can you say amen? Worldliness is going to send more people to hell that once knew God. Why? Because it is one of the great masterpieces of the devil. And brother, God said, don't have nothing to do with the world. It said, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. He doesn't mean the animals. He doesn't mean the trees. He doesn't mean the beautiful world in itself. He means the spirit of the world today. There are too many Christians, brother, so entrenched and rooted in the world until they're affected by the world. They give most of their time to the things, the pleasures, and the sports of the world, and very little to God, where if they could conquer the thing and put it in its right place, God would get his part that he requires out of your life. You may have a certain type of sport that you especially love. If you just say, well, I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to go a week and just tell God I love him, and I'm not going to even have anything to do with it. Oh, you blow your stack. Oh, I just can't stand it. I just got to have that. What's the matter? Is it bigger than you? Cowboys are all right. If I have reached a place I couldn't reach over in time, I want to and just snap them off and go on about my business, I've got something bigger than I can handle. I look to cowboys. I don't mind looking at them. But I know one thing. I know one thing. If they stand the least bit between me and my duty toward God and my feeding my soul and my praying and my reading, and if I don't give God the time, either on my knees or in that word that he requires, but I'm giving too much to the things of the world, I've got a giant, and brother, I can't push it off with a button. It takes God to do it. How many people believe people can go to the extreme? Be temperate in all things. Some things are right in their place. Like the fellow playing golf. He's out there on Sunday. And a funeral procession came by. And he took off his hat. He bowed as it went by. And his buddy said, "Whoo, never did know of you taking your hat off and bowing to funeral procession. You come out here and shoot your little golf all day, putt around from putt to putt." Said, "How come you taking off your hat?" "Well," said, "that's the first time my wife ever come by in a hearse going to be buried." That's putting it in the wrong place. You say he neglected his wife. She is going to the funeral, yeah. And maybe he did that while she's alive. Maybe he neglected his children. I say this, do all the sports you can. At the same time, be a good dad. Discharge your duty to your children, to your wife, to your husband. And we have duties to require. And if you don't watch, we find ourselves in ruts. And we try to get out of them. And you think, "Oh, I'm not in a habit." I saw an old boy. He's full of hot air. I saw him. And he'd chew on a cigar. And he's always chewing on a cigar. He never would light the end of it because he's living with a religious wife. His mama was apostolic, 100% plus exploded. She was apostolic all over. And so he knew he'd catch too much thunder that way. But he said, "Oh, I'm not in the habit of it. It never bothers me." But finally began to smoke a little bit so that I can lay it down anytime I want to. I saw him 4 years later and he was smoking one after the other. I said, "Hey, Tom." That's his name. I said, "I notice you light one off the other." "Yeah," he said, "but I can quit any time I want to." I said, "Yeah, but you don't want to, do you?" "Well," he said, "I could." I said, "Won't you lay it down right now and try?" You know why? He had something he couldn't push a button and get rid of. Brother, he had got a giant on his hand. We take the little liquor bottle and you can let that be a giant. You can take that long, slick, gossipy tongue that you just let rattle over the telephone and you don't want to do it. Oh, no, you know, God's talked about it through tongues and interpretation. The preacher's preached about it, and you can't carry it into heaven. You got to get it sanctified down here, but it wants to bottle. It wants to lab around, and you found somebody doing something wrong. Oh, yeah, but what you're doing is worse than all of it. And you get on the phone, and God said, "Don't do that. That's not right." And you take two or three short breaths and you hang it up and you'll say, "Praise the Lord. Where's my mop?" And you'll get around the first thing you'll look at the phone. Praise the Lord. Dial, 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 dial. "Mary." "Yeah. Oh, what you doing, Mary?" "You are. Yeah. You know, if I tell you something, you promise not to tell nobody." "Promise not to tell nobody." "Telling it to an old gossiper." And when she gets through, she's empty and flat. She's popped off. She's blabbered. In multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. Call that line. It's busy, 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 busy. Call a line 15 minutes later. Busy, 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 busy. Call it again. Busy, 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 busy. You go up and say, "There wanteth not sin." You say, "Is that bad?" "Bad enough to send you to hell." And another thing, did you ever see an old gossamer, unless he hit the aisle, let someone lay their hands on him and come before God and let the great giant killer get a hold to you and you say, God, it's damnable and hellish. Take it out, stomp on it, give me victory over it, and you turn against that thing as long as you nuzzle it and you whimper it and you give it a little bottle and you give it a little pacifier and say, come on, goo, 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 honey. Now, I don't mean to be mean at you. We funnel our sins like that. It grieves the Holy Ghost. How many got giants in your life? Oh, brother, these giants, I'm going to have my way. What did you say? Well, you can just jump in the lake. I'll not do it. Quit acting like that. Push your button and quit acting like that. You know what's the matter to you? You got a giant. I'm going to say this now. David, there's a price they had to pay to get rid of Goliath. There's a price Jesus paid when he met Satan. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And after him fasting, he met Satan. It cost him something. And let me say this. Though it cost him, all God said you have to do is rise to your feet, get in an aisle and come down and let my servant that I have anointed and laid my hands on him. And I said, the ministry of laying on of hands, when they lay their hands on individual, I am the giant killer. And if they come with a giant in their life, and I want you to stop right now and say, God, what is my giant? What is the thing I constantly pray in? I know you're not pleased with it. I know you're not pleased with it. It hinders me. And I've tried and tried. Do you mean to tell me Jesus would say, honey, I'm sorry. Just like Goliath, he's hollering out there, but I can't do you no good. How many believe that when he won the victory, it was an understanding that God's kingdom goes free? The Bible said Jesus conquered the devil, who had power over death, which is the devil. He conquered him. And that means anything in your life that needs to be conquered, Jesus conquered it back there. If you are out of the kingdom, you can't have victory over it because, brother, God doesn't give his deliverance to those in the kingdom of Satan. But if we're a child of God and we're having problems, which many people are, it cost something for Jesus to set you free. This morning, if you have a giant in your life, it could be that giant that keeps God from performing the miracle on your body. Let me say it again. It could be that giant that keeps God from performing the miracle on your body. I want him to bring out the picture to show you what price Jesus paid. And then I'm wanting those this morning that has a miracle in your body that needs to be performed. There's a miracle. It would take a miracle to perform it. I want them to come out with this painting and turn it around, and I want them to show this congregation. And as you come up, I want you to realize, and you can turn it one way and then turn it around where the back up, Brother G, and let them see it over this way. Now, you'll say, how do you know that's exactly like him? As far as earthly knowledge is concerned, there were paintings painted from the very original. There was no one standing taking paintings, we know that. But we know that this is the type of post they had. We do know that your Bible tells you in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that they bound Christ with his hands and they brought him in and they tied him to a post. And it said the Roman soldiers took a plat with steel pieces on the end of them. And they opened up his back. And as his back was opened up, the blood poured out of his back. Jesus, right after this whipping, he gets ready to go out to Calvary. And all the sins of the world are going to be laid on him. All of our maladies, all of our tempers, all of our giants are laid on him. And there, when God turns his face from his son, with his eyes bleeding, the thorn of crowns is piercing in. It's coming down. His eyes are bloodshot. Blood has been pouring out because it said they opened up his back with the steel things, the great big giant-like Roman soldiers threw the quirt 40 long licks on him and ripped his back open, bloody, and so much blood loss. He was staggering under his cross when they took Simon and said, "You must carry it." He went out and they spiked his hands and they spiked his feet. He hung there for 6 long hours with blood running out. He paid a price to conquer your giant. But when he said, "Father, it's finished," thank God. And then the book said, Peter said, "By whose stripes you were healed." Oh, when you come up, I don't care what that healing is. If you'll come to Jesus, the giant killer, that taken care of every affliction, every giant, he's able to master your problem. You can turn around now and take it back. I'm going to the front. I mean here to the front, and I want you that are bound. You have a giant. He said, "I'm afraid if I stand, people won't know what my giant is." They already know what your giant is. You're afraid to stand. God honor a man that'll stand and move forward and let Jesus Christ do what he can do. Let me ask you, if I ask you a question right now, do you have things in your life that you found that you're not big enough to master? They master you. You know they're wrong, but they're mastering you. What are they? Call them. "Oh, I just got a little thing." That's a lie from hell. Brother, it's bigger than any big thing you've ever got rid of, because you got rid of all the rest of them and you're wrestling with it yet. Don't say, "I whipped all of them, but I just got a little thing." The little thing you're talking about is bigger than the rest of them. If it's a big, you haven't been able to master it. And I'm going to tell you, God worked on me for years after I got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost and preaching the gospel. And I'm going to tell you one thing, God ain't finished with me yet. I said, God ain't finished with me yet. And I'd like to see the little holy sanctified sister stand to your feet and say, "I don't need anything that Jesus has for me. I'm perfect. Read all I should, pray all I should, visit and win souls for Jesus every day. I pray for the preacher every day. I really have the burden of the church. I carry it." Really carry the burden of the church. You say, "Shoulda?" You should. And you're guilty if you don't carry the burden of the church. If it's not carried, God help. What'll happen to the church if someone don't carry it? Am I to carry it? You say, "Are you preaching too long?" Oh no, that may be your giant you need to get rid of. This little old giant right here, brother, you ought to get rid of it. How many days a week do you fast? I don't preach like this every Sunday, but I am today. I'm saying this, if you've got a giant and you're not bringing it to Jesus and you want him to set you free from it, you carry it out that door. Put its little pacifier on. "They're about to get rid of you, wasn't they, huh?" Mm-hmm. "About to get rid of you." And you put that in, he said, boy, they just go after that pacifier. I'm going to tell you, you've got to reach a place and you've got to be like grown men in dealing with things of the world today. How many believe we've got more sin and more power of the devil in the world today than we ever have before? How many believe that we've got more worldliness creeping into the church than ever before? The world is looking for somebody as an example of what God can do. You take your temper and you put it on the altar and say, "God, kill it." Blessed little thing like Abraham giving up Esau. Sure hate to do it. Said, "You got to either get rid of him or Isaac." And brother, I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people getting rid of their Isaacs because they won't get rid of their Ishmaels. Both of them can't stay in the same house. One's after the flesh and the other's after God. How many believe that this kind of preaching will get you to heaven? Yes. Yes. This morning, we got the oil here. I want someone to get the oil out of that pulpit. I want one of our elders to come here and anoint with oil as I pray. I want individuals here before we leave. I want you to come get in line here. And I want us all to ask God right now that as they come forward, I'm not going to spend a long time. I'm just going to put my hand on them, and I'm going to believe that God Almighty is going to get rid of the giant in their life. I want everybody in this building right now that wants God to help you, and I want to keep this open here because when I pray for them, I want them to go right on through here in the prayer room for just a few minutes, and then we can be dismissed. You can go whenever you want to, but we're going to pray. Now look, I want everybody in the building to raise their hand with me right now, and I want you to say these words. Say, Jesus, when Brother Hibbard lays his hands on him, take over as a giant killer and take care of the giant in that life the minute he puts his hand on him. Will you do it? Raise your hand. Father, we pray that you'll take care of every person here this morning that has need. We pray that you'll loose them in Jesus' precious name, for Christ's sake. Thank God. Touch this soul. Thank him for it. God, it's done. We come to you just one rock and one blow and the giant came down. God, touch him. Deliver this boy right now. Set this man free in the mighty name of Jesus. Touch this precious soul. God, whatever the miracle is, touch this body and heal. Oh, Kasaka, if you have need of a healing in your body, believe that God's going to heal you by his stripes. By his stripes you were healed. Father, touch this man. Heal every part of this body and give him the need, every giant in his life, and every need, every spiritual affliction. God, help him right now. Help this woman in Jesus' name. Touch this woman and grant it right now. For Jesus' sake, right now, God, it's done. We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God, touch this precious soul. It's done in Jesus' name. The reason you can do it quick, it's because it's already been done. But whose stripes you were healed. You're not going to be healed, but whose stripes you were healed. You're coming up to accept what's already been paid for. God, do it right now. Honor the word in Jesus' name. Touch this man. God, master every need in this life. Right now, make her whole. Every need. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Believe God does the work. Father, touch this man right now in Jesus' name. I come against every enemy. Crush it down. We pray right now. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Touch this man. Perform the miracle and have him to know it's done. Thank God for this soul right now. Oh, kohoshaka. Thank you, Jesus, right now. Touch this soul for Christ's sake. Oh, God, help him. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for healing. In Jesus' name. Bring your fears. Bring your torment. Bring your timidity. God will take care of it all. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Father, we pray to meet every need in this life. Right. In the name of Jesus, touch this soul. Ukasaka. Undalabakahanda. Glory to God. Thank you for touching this soul. Right now, in the name of Jesus. Believe it's going to be done. Praise God. Amen. Everyone believe. Just believe God. Father, we come now. There's a giant killer. And you kill the giant for our benefit. We're not servants to Saul, to the Philistines. We're servants to serve God. Thank you, Lord, right now. Thank you, Jesus. Touch this brother. Make him whole. Right now, Lord, in Jesus' name, touch our brother. Every need, right now, in the name of Jesus. If you have an affliction, you be believing God. If you have a giant that you want God to take care of, you tell God on your way up here what it is. When I lay my hand on you, that's God's contact. You thank God from that minute it's done. Father, it's done. In the name of Jesus, the great God, touch this brother. Loose him, my God, from every bondage. Eko sakara. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Touch this sister right now. Touch this brother. In the name of Jesus, manifest your power. For Christ's sake, touch this brother. In the name of Jesus, because you're God, you're ever living to make intercession. Right now, touch this brother. God, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. It says they touched Jesus. They were healed when they touched him. Said he touched them. There's one line going one way and another line going another. One behind is touching him. And one in front, he's touching them. And brother, they touched and were healed. There's a song that said he touched me. Brother, these hands are holy. God said lifting up holy hands. They're God's hands. When I put them on you, they're God's hands. Where's Christ in me? Where's the Holy Ghost? My body's a temple of the Holy Ghost. Who enforces the law of God? Holy Ghost does. You say, God, I've got healing that needs to take place. By your stripes, I'm healed. And you have the hands placed on you, and that's a contact. Believe it's done. Don't you doubt. Don't wait for nothing. Just thank God. Father, it's done. In the name of Jesus right now, praise God, believe it's done. God, touch this soul right now. Quicken every part of her being. Right now, touch this body. Loose her. Touch this woman in the mighty name of Jesus. God, we thank you right now for the power of God. Osaka, Ibro Shahana. Glory to God. Touch your son. We thank you for the healing virtue right now. Touch him in Jesus' name. Amen. Touch your daughter by the power of God right now. Touch your sister, Lord. Amen. You said, I'll confirm the word with signs following. I preach the word and your God, touch this woman now. Praise him, sister of God. Touch this brother right now. Part of his body, Lord, heal him for Jesus' sake. Touch her right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, the Son of God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. How many believe the great physician is right here? We can start marching up through here too. Father, touch this soul right now. I'm thanking you, Lord, for answering prayer. Hallelujah. You expect a miracle? Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to tell you one thing. It's an insult to high God to come in this line and stand there and let me put my hands on you, and you walk off thinking God hasn't done anything. That's a lie from hell. When David stepped out there and turned that rock loose, something was done. When Christ said on the cross, it's finished. How many believe it was finished? And that finish means everything you need, brother. Every giant in your life, every affliction in your life, every sickness in your life was taken care of. He doesn't want you to doubt. He wants you to believe. Glory to God. Touch this soul right now. God, do in her what you did for her at Calvary. Touch this woman. Loose her from this thing right now in the name of Jesus. Touch your son right now. Every need is met in the name of Jesus. Praise him, hon. Thank God forever right now. God, touch your son. There it is. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, we thank you right now. Oh, Kosaka.
I want to stand stronger, Brother Hibbert.
Yes,
the Lord.
You'll get it, Father, right now. She is stronger right now. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for touching this soul. In the name of Jesus, touch this precious soul right now. Meet every need in this life. We command it to leave right now for Christ's sake. Oh, Sakaranda. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. God's getting ready to do something right now. Thank you, Lord, right now. Oh, hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. Thank God it's done. Amen. Lay hands on the sick. God, every need is met. Right now, in the name of Jesus, touch these precious souls. Oh, hallelujah. There it is. You believe it? Oh, hallelujah. God, touch now. Thank you. Raise both hands. Praise him for it. Thank him for it right now. Lay your hand upon this life. Master everything, God, that would hinder it anyway. Touch his body. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Boy, you talk about some giants hitting the ground. Boy, they're hitting the ground this morning. Why? Because he's a giant killer. He said, honey, you can't whip the giant, but I'm going to whip him for you. and that'll take care of all of Israel's giants. All Israel had a giant until David taken care of him. And we had a giant till Jesus taken care of him. And your giant goes in the name of Jesus. Thank God, Father, in the name of Jesus. Everything in this life. There it goes. Praise God. These folk are believing. You can feel it. God, we pray to touch right now. In the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. God, I thank you right now. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Believe God, Father, it's done in the name of Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for answering prayer. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I'm gonna straighten something out. There may be someone here in line, or someone maybe haven't even got in the line yet. He said, well, God'd have to straighten out a lot of people to get me straightened out. No, he wouldn't have to straighten nobody out to get you straightened out. That's your giant. You let God take care of the rest of the people. You let God take care of your hunk of flesh. You come, you bring yourself to God and say, God, operate on me. You put in and take out what you need to take out. And then people take care of themselves. If you wait for people to be straightened out, brother, you'll go to hell. But God's going to take care of people, but you need to come to God.